dealing with a real threat. We're dealing with an artificial threat. We're dealing with a fake terrorism. 9/11 and most of the terrorism that goes on in this world today is, in fact, fake terrorism or contrived terrorism, false flag terrorism. And that the war on terror, which is what 9/11 was meant to start, is equally a fraud. The war on terror and the terrorism that we see happening around us is all part of basically a big feeder operation, a big psyops. And so when we understand that, we can disabuse ourselves of this notion that we're fighting a war against Islam and the whole Arab world, what have you. No, we're being duped. We're being deceived on a day-to-day basis.
I'm Bonnie Faulkner. Today on Guns and Butter, Christopher Boleyn. Today's show, Architects of Terror. Christopher Boleyn is an independent researcher, investigative journalist, and author. Upon graduation from high school in Cook County, Illinois, he spent the next 3 years traveling extensively throughout Europe and the Middle East, finally settling in both a kibbutz in Israel and in Norway, where he studied Egyptian, Biblical Hebrew, and Norwegian at the University of Oslo. He is a graduate of the University of California in history with an emphasis on Israel-Palestine. Along with research and writing, he has worked as an editor and translator. His travels and studies of German, Spanish, Norwegian, Swedish, Hebrew, and Arabic languages have helped him analyze international politics and events. He is the author of Solving 9/11, The Deception That Changed the World, and Solving 9/11, The Articles. Christopher Boleyn, welcome again.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Let's talk about Hollywood and the movies. You write about several very important films, including The Medusa Touch of 1978, JFK, the cult classic Brazil, as well as the television pilot for The Lone Gunman. Mm-hmm. What makes these films significant, and who produced them?
Yeah, they're very important. Most of them are Israeli-produced films made by Arnon Milchan, or Arnon Milchan. And he's one of the big media moguls in Hollywood. He's an Israeli guy. He's a very high-level Israeli intelligence agent who's been involved in smuggling of equipment and nuclear triggers and things of that nature for Israel's nuclear arsenal. And in doing that, he was their chief agent in an Israeli operation called LAKAM, L-A-K-A-M, which was basically the operation to procure the essential elements needed for Israel's nuclear arsenal. And this was being run by Shimon Peres, of course, the godfather of Israel's nuclear arsenal. Their main agent was Arnon Milchan in Hollywood. His operation was busted in 1985 for having smuggled something like 850 nuclear triggers for nuclear bombs to Israel. When the operation was discovered, the triggers had already been sent to Israel. The only people who actually were busted or being sought by FBI were the American underlings. Arnon Milchan was not named in the investigation, although he was the one who ran the whole operation. In 1978, before he even got involved in that smuggling operation for the triggers, he had made a movie in 1978 called The Medusa Touch, his first movie. And in this movie, it was an English-French production, a Boeing 747. The climactic scene is a Boeing 747 flying into the Pan Am building, or a high-rise that looks like the Pan Am building. And then later he made, in the year 2000, he, with his partner, Rupert Murdoch, they had a company called New Regency Films or New Regency Television, and they made a movie called The Pilot Episode of The Lone Gunman, in which a passenger aircraft was hijacked remotely and flown into the World Trade Center. And what this is ideation. This is putting the idea out there in the public domain that people are trying to hijack planes and fly them into the World Trade Center. He was obviously aware of this plot. In 1978, when he made the movie, he was very close to the head of Israeli intelligence and the head of Israeli military as their Weizmann. So it's like his ideas, his themes of his movies didn't just come out of thin air. He's working from an understanding of what the plots are that are in the making.
And what about the cult classic Brazil? He was also the producer of that, wasn't he?
Yes. That was the film that was written by, I think, Terry Gilliam, the American guy involved in the comedy series on TV. It was a big comedy series. Terry Gilliam wrote the script for this movie. And what's interesting, it came out in like 1985. And in the movie, it's a grim futuristic piece about life in the future in which terrorism occurs on a daily basis all around these people. And for example, they'll be at a restaurant and a bomb will go off and then the waiters come out and bring up a screen, set up the screen. And the background of the whole theme, the society is at war with the terrorists. There's this ongoing war against terrorism, and the terrorists occasionally put bombs off, you know, here and there. And it's like terrorism became a way of life, and the war on terror was the war that these people were involved in. It's uncanny because it's so close to what we now see happening in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, these two countries that were the first battlefields of the war on terror. And these two countries, now 14 years after the beginning of the war on terror, now have more terrorism and more deaths due to terrorism than any time in their history. It's worse now in the last year in both those countries than it's ever been. So you can see that the war on terrorism has been extremely expensive and extremely counterproductive, because rather than eliminating terrorism, it has increased terrorism like 10 times. And so last year in Afghanistan, there was a record number of people killed due to terrorism, and likewise in Iraq.
Now, this Arnon Milchan was also the producer of the film JFK, isn't that right?
That's right. And in that film, of course, the viewer comes away thinking that there's this nebulous group in the U.S. CIA that's responsible for the death of the president. And it's a good film. It's made by Oliver Stone. But there is, of course, no discussion or no presentation of any of the Israeli involvement in the murder of John F. Kennedy. For example, you know, we know now, thanks to Leah Rabin, who wrote a memoir after the death of her husband, that her husband, Yitzhak Rabin, was in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963. She said that, you know, it was just coincidence, she said. But also, as soon as he went back to Israel in December of that year, 1963, he was made chief of staff. So whatever he did in Dallas apparently was rewarded with the highest position in the Israeli military.
Who was the head of Israeli intelligence that predicted in 1980 that Arab terrorists would attack this tallest building in New York City? What can you tell us about this prediction?
Oh, that's very interesting. That's Yisr Harel. That was the founding chief of the Mossad and of the Shin Bet, Israeli domestic and foreign intelligence. And Yisr Harel was the one who, as I said, was removed from his position at Mossad in 1963 because of his operation to kill German scientists who had been working with Egypt. In that operation, Yitzhak Shamir was the main guy running the operation, the murder operation. But Yisr Harel was interviewed by a guy named Michael Evans. I think his name was Michael Evans. And this is a Jewish guy from Texas who has a Christian Zionist outfit called Jerusalem Prayer Team, I think it's called. Well, in any case, this Michael Evans has very close connections to the extreme right wing in Israel, the Likud party, Menachem Begin, and the head of the former head of the Mossad. And in 1980, he reported this, you know, later. In 1980, he was having dinner with Yisr Harel, the former head of the Mossad, and he asked him, do you think terrorism will ever come to the United States? And if so, where? And Yisr Harel told him, yes, I think it will. And they will attack your tallest building in New York City. And they'll attack the tallest building because that's a symbol of your power and your fertility and all that kind of stuff. And lo and behold, you know, 21 years later, that came true. And this prediction was made in 1979 and again in 1980. This is when it was reported by Michael Evans. So clearly the plotting, the planning, the Israeli planning for the 9/11 terror attacks went into high gear in the late 1970s. And this is exactly the time, 1977, when the Likud coalition came to power in Israel. And the Likud coalition is very important to understand. This is the coalition of the former heads of the terrorist outfits in Palestine, Israel, from the 1930s and 40s. This is Menachem Begin, Yitzhak Shamir, Ariel Sharon. This is the most radical, ruthless, and extremist elements of the Zionist movement. This is basically the Jabotinsky Zionists, and they involve the Netanyahu family and the Begin family and the Shamir family. These are really, really extreme people, and that's not appreciated by people in America because Americans basically don't have the understanding or the historical understanding of Zionism and the different elements of Zionism.
Now, these terrorist groups that you're mentioning would have been what, Irgun and also the Stern Group?
Two of the biggest ones were the Irgun, that was under Menachem Begin, and the Stern Gang, or Lehi, and that was under Yitzhak Shamir. And the heads of these two groups came together, as I said, in 1973, formed the Likud coalition, and then they came to power in 1977. And they have basically been in power ever since. At certain times, they've had to share power with the other parties, but they have been the most powerful ruling party in Israeli politics since the late 1970s. And that's very important to understand because these are the people who have always used terrorism as their modus operandi.
You had a quote from Menachem Begin, actually. Somebody asked him about being the biggest terrorist in the Middle East. What did he say?
Yeah, that's interesting. That was in 1974. I think that it was a British journalist named Russell Howe. And he was asked, how does it feel in light of all that's going on in 1974 to be considered the father of terrorism in the Middle East? And Begin kind of chuckled and said, in the Middle East, in all the world. And so he was taking upon himself the mantle of being the father of terrorism in all the world. And, you know, the truth be known, that's not a far cry from the truth. The Israelis are the ones who have made terrorism, you know, what it is today. And they have played a key role in a great deal of it. And what we've seen in Iraq, for example, some of these terrorists, when you unwrap their turbans and find their identity, is that they're not Iraqi or Afghani at all. They're, in some cases, you know, Israeli or British intelligence agents. And that's very important to understand because we're not dealing with a real threat. We're dealing with an artificial threat. We're dealing with a fake terrorism. And that's what's really important to understand, is to understand that 9/11 and most of the terrorism that goes on in this world today is in fact fake terrorism or contrived terrorism, false flag terrorism, and that the war on terror, which is what 9/11 was meant to start, is equally a fraud. So that we're living in deceived times, and the war on terror and the terrorism that we see happening around us is all part of a big psyops. And so when we understand that, we can disabuse ourselves of this notion that we're fighting a war against Islam and the whole Arab world, what have you. No, we're being duped. We're being deceived on a day-to-day basis. And the sooner we understand that, the quicker we'll pull ourselves out of this Zionist war agenda that is destructive of this country and much of the world. You know, it's interesting that the war on terrorism was first articulated in the late 1970s, again, the late 1970s, by Netanyahu himself at the Jerusalem conference in 1979 of the Netanyahu Institute. Netanyahu had been an employee of the Rothschild in the years prior to this conference. And at the conference, George Herbert Walker Bush spoke in support of this idea. The Israeli idea was to get the United States into the Middle East on a war footing to fight the terror groups, what you would call these resistance groups, who were opposed to Israeli occupation and hegemony in the region. So that's where we find ourselves now. We are now camped out in the Middle East on a permanent basis, fighting an Israeli, a Zionist war agenda for them. So there is really no American interest whatsoever. We've been completely tricked into a fraudulent war.
Israelis in the Twin Towers were forewarned about the attacks of September 11th. Isn't that right?
Oh, yes, they were. What happened is that there was an Israeli instant messaging service called Odigo. And this company had their corporate offices two blocks from the World Trade Center. And their research and development, the operations, was being done in Herzliya, Israel. You know, this is the typical of these Israeli companies I was telling you about. A couple hours before 9/11, before the first plane struck at, 8:45, a couple hours before that, there was a warning message that went out on this Odigo instant messaging system. And if you were an Odigo subscriber, you would get the message through your BlackBerry or your internet or your email, whatever platform you used, you would get this message. And the message said that there would be something disastrous happening at the World Trade Center. And as the vice president of the company later said, the warning was precise to the minute. So in conjunction with the fact that something like 4,000 Israelis were expected to have been in the area of the World Trade Center or the Pentagon on 9/11, and that of these 4,000, basically four Israelis perished, indicates to me that most of the people that got the Odigo message stayed away.
In his run for the Republican nomination, Donald Trump has cited an instance of Arab nationals, or maybe he said Muslims, seen celebrating in New York City as the World Trade Center towers exploded. Who, in fact, were these celebrants?
Yeah, this is a very odd thing because he's putting, again, Arabs, he's blaming Arabs for something that turned out to be Israelis. There were indeed five Middle Eastern men who had been seen celebrating the attack on the World Trade Center and clicking their lighters and giving high fives on the Jersey side of the river there. This was reported by Ted Koppel at about noon on 9/11. And he said they were Middle Eastern men. But these five Middle Eastern men turned out to be Israeli agents. So they were the Kurtzberg brothers and then three other operatives. And these men were arrested by New Jersey police in the afternoon on 9/11. And they were found to have been carrying box cutters and thousands of dollars stuck in their socks and things like that. And their van tested positive for explosives. But when it was then turned over to the FBI, and these men were held in detention in Brooklyn for about 2 months, and then they went back to Israel, and they appeared on the Yair Lapid show. And in that show, the three operatives admitted that they had been on a mission, and the purpose of their mission was to document the event. All five of these characters were affiliated with, connected with a company called Urban Moving Systems in Weehawken, New Jersey, which we now know was an Israeli Mossad front company to look like a moving company, but it was basically there to set up the 9/11 operation.
In your powerful two-hour presentation at the Presidio Library in San Francisco, you had a slide of the September 11th memorial at Ground Zero in New York City. There was a design contest for this memorial. Whose design won?
Yeah, it's very interesting that the memorial with the pools and the falling water was designed by an Israeli man named Michael Arad. And Michael Arad is the son of Moshe Arad. And Moshe Arad was the former Israeli ambassador to the United States. The Arad family is very close to the Netanyahus. What's interesting is that the legacy, both the museum and the memorial, were designed by an Israeli designer who is connected to the godfather of the war on terror, Netanyahu. It's Michael Arad, A-R-A-D.
One thing I didn't realize until you pointed it out is that Larry Silverstein and Benjamin Netanyahu have a very close friendship. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Benjamin Netanyahu and Larry Silverstein had a weekly conversation on the telephone every Sunday afternoon for years prior to 9/11. So that means that Netanyahu is basically the godfather of the war on terror, spoke every Sunday afternoon with Larry Silverstein, who was basically the godfather of the 9/11 destruction. I mean, all three towers that fell that day belonged to Larry Silverstein. And, you know, these two men, wherever they were in the world, every Sunday afternoon, they would have a discussion on the telephone. And this was reported by an Israeli reporter, and this was published in November 2001 in the Israeli media. And that's very interesting because what were they talking about? You know, these men were having this weekly conversation. And obviously, you know, these two men are the key players in the war on terror and 9/11. And it's interesting to note that Larry Silverstein basically was the recipient of the World Trade Center in late July, July 24th, I think it was, 2001, in which these public buildings, these publicly owned buildings, became his private property, at least to the extent that he was able to insure them against an act of terrorism. So when these publicly owned buildings became private property and he insured them, he then became the recipient of something like $7.5 billion when they were destroyed.
Christopher Bolin, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bonnie. It's been a pleasure being with you.
Something happening, yeah. Yeah, yeah. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there.
I've been speaking with Christopher Bolin. Today's show has been Architects of Terror. Christopher Bolin is an independent researcher, investigative journalist, and author. He has lived and traveled extensively throughout the world, including the Middle East, where he studied the region's history and languages before earning a degree in history from the University of California with an emphasis on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Along with research and writing, he has worked as an editor and translator. He is the author of Solving 9/11, The Deception That Changed the World, and Solving 9/11, The Articles. Visit his website at bolin.com. That's bolin.com. Guns and Butter is produced by Bonnie Faulkner, Yara Mako, and Tony Rango. Visit us at gunsandbutter.org to listen to past programs, comment on shows, or join our email list to receive our newsletter that includes recent shows and updates. Email us at faulkner@gunsandbutter.org. Follow us on Twitter at GNB Radio.
Hey, yo, these are some serious times that we live in, G. And our new world order is about to begin. You know what I'm saying? Now,
divine. You dig what I'm saying? Now, if you take heed to the words of wisdom that are